The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Well, it's Christmas time. Amen. And it's one of our favorite times of the year. People actually get in a good mood. Instead of slamming the door in your face, they actually sometimes hold the door open for you. And they say, Happy Holidays. And I always say, Merry Christmas. You know, I'm going to have a happy holiday, but I want to talk about having a merry and a blessed Christmas. So today's sermon is entitled, Why is Christmas Good News? Why is it good news? What's this all about? So let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 12, and this is the NIV translation. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And I'd say amen to that, and so would you be. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word preserved for us through the ages, that we might read it and study it and be edified and built up on your word. And we realize, dear Lord, that this is just words on a page unless we are inspired by your spirit to understand it. So we ask that you might take your inspired word and inspire our hearts and our spirit to understand the things that you would say to us, the Church of the Living God. Teach us your ways as we study this morning, and we pray together in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. The gospel, the good news, began with Jesus and has continued to this very day. It is the definitive good news for the whole world, for the whole world. The history of this good news was on this silent night that we sing of in that old song. Take into consideration this fact. Theologians tell us, from the information that has been studied, that there was a period for about 400 years where there had been no fresh word from God. 400 years. Some of you can't sit still for 4 minutes or 4 hours, 4 days. 4 years is an eternity. 40 years is a whole generation. 400 years is almost twice the age of the United States of America. 400 years without a fresh word from God. And quite unexpectedly, God began to speak once again. Israel, at that time, when God began to speak again, had fallen into the hands of the Roman Empire. They were under control of someone else, telling them what to do, what they could do, what they couldn't do. If they did things wrong, they suffered the consequences of it. They were heavily taxed. There were great burdens upon them. And they felt the iron foot of Rome on their necks. Not a very happy time for Israel. An angel showed up, first of all, to Elizabeth, as you know, and was the mother of John the Baptizer. Then that angel showed up to Mary. Then the angel spoke to Joseph. Then the angel spoke to a group of shepherds watching their sheep. And the word, since that day to this day, has been broadcast around the world. Around the world. So, in order to really get a feeling of what the good news is, we need to understand a little bit what the bad news is. And the bad news is that men have been living under not only the bondage of the Roman Empire, but under the bondage of sin. Sin has taken its toll. You know, there's a, those of you who like to watch these science programs on TV, and I like to watch them, I'm always interested in outer space, I guess, because I wasn't going to say because I have a lot of space in my head, but that's not the reason. Because I worked in the aeros... Don't have that look, Lee. I saw that look. You were agreeing with that too much. But because I worked in the aerospace industry and had the privilege of being part of the team that put men on the moon. Some of you think sometimes that I came from the moon, but that's not true. But they have in outer space what they call black holes. You've all heard of that. The thing that's so interesting about a black hole, and it's kind of theorized, they've never actually touched one or been there, just kind of looking through space, but they believe that the density of matter in those black holes is so strong and that its gravitational pull is so immense that not only can nothing escape from it, but light itself cannot even escape. That light can't get out. The reason we see things is because light radiates from it, so we can see it as a reflection of light. So it's that's what it's like. Well, I would propose to you that's exactly what had happened to mankind when we fell into sin. We've been in this black hole with no way of escaping. Try though we may, we can't get out. In just a few short weeks, some of you will be making your New Year's resolutions. Attempts to get out of the black hole. It won't work. Every New Year's resolution is broken. It's within a very short period of time. Some last for an hour, some a day, some a week. But it doesn't take long for the New Year's resolutions to just fall by the wayside. We try to be good and be the best we can, and we find ourselves failing. We'll get good in one area and we'll get bad in another area. We get one victory here and we lose over here. And we finally find ourselves on the ash heap of life wondering, will things ever get right for me? Will I ever be right? And the answer to that has always been a resounding no. So what are we to do? That pit is so deep. That darkness is so immense. That pull of sin is so destructive that there's no hope for us. Several weeks ago, most of you were glued to your television sets to watch the rescue of some miners out of who were trapped in a mine for months, unable to get out. And they were working feverishly on the surface to drill a hole down to where they were and took an escape capsule and lowered it down. If my memory serves me right, it was several thousand feet down under the surface. And they put that rescue capsule down under the surface and loaded those guys one by one and ratcheted them up to the surface. And they all came out just so exuberant and so happy. See, that's what happens to us when the good news gets to us. You know, we come out of that hole and it's another world. Those guys trapped in that mine, unable to get out. No light could get to them. The batteries were running low before they finally managed to get just a little bit of hole down to get some oxygen for them. But when they get pulled out, they're in this new dimension, this new reality. And that's what Christ does for us in the good news. One by one, he sends the rescue team, Christ himself, to put us in the capsule of grace and to remove us from utter darkness and bring us to the brilliance of the light of God. That is the good news, that there is hope for everyone. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done or what's holding on to you. You can be broken out of that utter darkness. So I want to spend a few minutes this morning talking about why this news is so good. And the first thing I want to tell you is that that hope was announced by a host of angels. Hope was announced by a host of angels. Let's look at verse 13, which I didn't read earlier. It says, suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, and I'm not going to complete it, he's saying, peace on earth, good news. To you this day has been born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now the good news burst forth like a meteor shower in the winter sky at night. It just burst out. 400 years of silence, and now this angel, these host of angels show up and they tell the good news that something has happened. Can you imagine, to use my illustration of being in that cave, thousands of feet under the earth, and when some rocks break loose in the ceiling above you, and a little lifeline comes down, a little camera, that's the first thing they put down there, and they said, we see you. They had a speaker on it. We know where you are. We're working desperately to get you out. We're sending you fresh air. We're sending you water. We're sending you food. Just hang on, guys. We'll get you out of that place. That's exactly what the angels were saying. Hang on. This is good news. It isn't all done yet. There's a lot more to be done. But this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, is a King of glory who will rescue you out of this place. Let me tell you what, friends, that is good news. That is what we all need to hear, that there is hope that can get us out of this hellish life that we've been living in and buried under with no way of escape. See, there's no way of escaping sin. You can't get out. You can't confess it enough. You can't repent enough. What you need is a Savior who is Christ the Lord, who takes our sins and removes them from us. He breaks through the rocks. He breaks through the darkness and changes us and brings us to a brand new reality. For thousands of years, the word had been passed by the Old Testament saints through the prophets, and that word was, hang on! Hang on! Help is on the way! Messiah is coming! Isaiah wrote about it over and over in many different ways, that a child would be born, that a king would be born, that help would come, and people believed that they were looking for this Messiah. Where's the Messiah? Where is he? Where is his coming? Nothing's changed for 1 year, for two, for 100, for thousands of years. Where's the hope? Where's the help? And the angels came that day and said, peace on earth. The Messiah is here. Go see him. I think the key word in all of that, it said suddenly it happened. Suddenly, when you least expect it, God shows up. I know for some of you, by your own testimonies, when you least expected it, God showed up in your life. The breakthrough came. The rescue capsule got to you and rescued you and pulled you out and brought you to a place you never dreamed possible, a place where you could live and breathe once again, where you could feel good about yourself, that you knew that if something were ever to happen to you, that this rescue, that this new reality, this kingdom of God, this kingdom of heaven, this new dimension was yours for all eternity. You know, I'm always amazed at people who have a religion that isn't worth 10 cents. You know, they got a religion that as soon as they do something wrong, they're on the road to hell again. Back into the darkness, back into the cave, back down through the tunnel, back into the abyss of darkness. When the word says, if you will believe on him, you will have eternal life, eternal light, eternal hope. It's a gift from God. It's the good news brought by the angels, and it showed up suddenly. When all hope had diminished, God shows up in your life and changes you. You know, Wednesday night when we were here, and Reggie's doing an awesome job, by the way, teaching through the Bible. That's his little theme that he's using. He borrowed that from J. Vernon McGee. I'm sure Brother McGee wouldn't mind you using his little through the Bible. I like it. It's a good thing. And as we were here Wednesday night, and Spud mentioned that he had the opportunity to go to a game with his grandkids, I guess it was, and he said, no, I said, I think I'm going to go to church. And I thought, that's fruit of the Spirit. That's light. That's the kingdom of God. And he said it himself, normally I just go to the ball game. But he felt a calling. You see, several weeks ago, Spud received Christ into his life. And there's been a change in him. And I'm sure he doesn't know the change yet. But that change is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not some belief in a religious system, but a relationship with this Messiah, this Christ child. Mary and Joseph were told by the angel that they were fulfilling, seeing the fulfillment of the Old Testament. They said, this child will be Emmanuel, God with us. You ever been in a situation where really, really bad? Maybe you were lost somewhere. Maybe you were really, really sick. Maybe you were hurt in an accident and you were waiting for help to come. You've been in that place. I have. That's a hard place to be. Remember that a couple of years ago, there was a young man who was hiking in, out west and was by himself, and he fell and got jammed in a crevasse, a rock crevasse, and was unable to get free. And after several days, he realized he was dying, and he did the unthinkable. He took a knife that was just more than a pocket knife, and he roughed up the edge on it to get the blade to be like a saw blade, and removed his arm to save his life, waiting for help to come, waiting for something to happen. And what this is telling us is that God has come to the rescue of the world. God is with us. We're no longer alone. We're no longer left destitute on this planet with no hope. But Emmanuel, God with us, the fulfillment of all that was told in the Old Testament. And at the same time as the page of the Old Testament was turned, the page of a New Testament was revealed. And you shall call him Jesus, God's great salvation. Jesus said, I have come to save the world, to bring light and hope for those in sin. I love the story of the day when some guys brought their friend and they lowered him down through the roof of a house. I mean, that's good friends. I'm telling you, if I'm in trouble, I want friends like that around me. They broke a hole and let this guy down in the midst of where Jesus was, because there wasn't any way to get there. And when Jesus saw him, and he was just amazed at what took place, and he said, your sins are forgiven. And they said, who is this man who could forgive sins? They didn't get it. And Jesus said, in order that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, pick up your bed and walk. And the man rose up and walked out of the building. See, this Christ can not only heal your body, he can give the greatest healing, the forgiveness of your sins. See, these folks thought that finally the rescuer had come. But they only wanted the boot removed from their neck of Rome. Jesus actually came to set them free from the bondage of sin. There's a song that tells this story. And I've asked Pastor Reggie to come and sing it for us.
O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born. O night divine, O night when Christ was born.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's what the angels came to tell us. Thank you, Reggie. Second thing I want to talk to you about is that the good news came to ordinary people. Just ordinary people. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. There we go. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Just leave that up on the screen for just a minute, Jim. You know, we've kind of deified the shepherds. We really have, you know. But I think we missed the point that these were just ordinary folks. And they weren't very high on the strata of success in their society. They didn't smell very good. They didn't look very good. They worked real hard out in the fields. But this is the folks that God chose to visit. Uneducated, hardworking, but most of all, unnoticed. Just walk by them, not paying attention to them, just out in the fields doing their thing. Why in heaven would God choose to announce the greatest story ever told to guys who others would walk by? You see, regular people get it. I want to read you a passage of Scripture. I don't have it on the overhead, but I just read it to you. It's out of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. And it says, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world." Say after me, I am a foolish thing. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the wise. Foolish, weak. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Anytime you start feeling uppity about your Christianity, go read that passage of Scripture and find out who you really are. That's who you are in Christ. He saw you. See, it's hard to get the kings in the church. It's hard to get the religious rich folk in the church. It's hard to get the people who have all the answers in the church. They know it all. And that's what you were before Christ. Kind of a know-it-all who knew nothing. But you heard the voice of the good news. And you responded to it. And your life changed because of it. And you're never the same again because of what takes place when that word gets to you. Who would believe such a story? I wrote some of you, in fact, you can go to the internet and look under the newsletter. You'll see this story. I wrote it for the newspaper and I put it on our website. Who's going to believe this wild story? I'm Mary's dad. Pop, I'm going to have a baby. You fooling with Joseph? No, Dad, no. But trust me, we ain't even close to each other. You know? I don't know, Mary, what is this wild story? An angel came to visit me. Yeah, what's his name? Where does he live? Do I know his parents? I'll get this Angelo guy. No, Angel, Dad, not Angelo. Angelo's one of the Roman soldiers. Angel. Yeah, what's his name? I think his name Gabriel, something like that, he told me. I don't know, Dad. It was a big deal. And he said, I'm going to have this child. He's going to be the Son of God. That's it. You've been doing dope again. All right, just get the shotgun, Mama. We're going out to visit Joseph because he's the guy. I know he's the one. Who's going to believe such a stupid story? It's wild. I mean, think about it, folks. Be real here for a moment. We've got Mary deified. Some people make statues out of her, praying prayers to her all the time, thinking she's going to do something wonderful. She's just an ordinary girl who had a problem, and she's got to explain this to a lot of folks. We've got to explain it to Joseph. I don't know if Joseph is buying this story either. And he wouldn't have bought it. In fact, he was getting, just kind of push her out the way and get rid of her. Just quietly. He liked her, cared about her, just let it go. Same angel showed up to talk to Joseph. Joe, pay attention, boy. I want you to listen to this story. Mary's telling you the truth. Okay. You just take her as your wife, all right? At the appropriate time, you'll see what God is doing. See, it's the ordinary folks. Joseph and Mary were ordinary people, just like the shepherds were ordinary folks. God didn't go to the high priest and work through him to bring the Messiah in. He went to a lowly teenage girl. Just Mary, very common name. Didn't mean much. Joseph had a million Josephs around. Just a young couple planning on getting married. And God showed up. See, Mary, like the other ordinary folks, had found favor in God's eyes. In some kind of way, God looked at you and found favor in you and revealed the truth to you that you might know the truth. The religious group, I'll tell you, the hardest people in the world to talk to about Christ is religious people because they got all the answers. They know it all. I had a man tell me one time, he's a minister in this town. He's a preacher. And I was explaining to him the gospel of grace. And he told me, he said, Morris, if you're right, I've wasted my whole life preaching something that's not true. Because he preached the law. Rescued today, back in the pit tomorrow. Rescued again, back in the pit. Always do this. You must go to church. You must tithe. You've got to be holy. He said, I'd have to give up everything I've ever said and admit that I was wrong. He said, I'm not doing that. Is that right, Pat? No. She was with me when that happened. Religious folks are hard to get through. Are you religious? Are you hanging on to something that's not true? You believe because you're going to be good enough and that some kind of way God's going to balance the scales at the end and say, oh, well, you wasn't so bad. You wasn't a Ted Bundy. You didn't murder a bunch of people. And you didn't rob any banks, you know. And you didn't rape and pillage and maul and murder anyone. So, yeah, come on in. You'll be all right. If that's what you believe in, you're still in the hole. Is still in darkness, and you don't know the truth. I'm not saying that to hurt your feelings. I'm saying that so you know the truth. You've got to find Christ. You say, do I need to believe that story about Mary, Joseph? Well, let me tell you what. You don't need to worry about that. All you have to do is believe in Jesus. That he came, that he lived, that he died, that he rose from the dead, and became sin for you. And if you will trust him with your todays and all your tomorrows and all eternity and give yourself over to him, you will be what the Bible says, born again, not of flesh and blood, but of the power and the Spirit of God. No more religion, no more titles, no more memberships, but ownership. God owning you. You being owned by God. You being transformed and changed. That's what this gospel message is about for people who will believe it. Religious people have great difficulty because they have to throw away their religious rhetoric. And it's so hard to do. Jesus said this. In fact, James Barron, when I was in Florida last week, spoke about it in I'd encourage you, if you haven't done so, to go to the website and go see the class that James Barron did about grace. In fact, he did it especially for you. I asked him to do it for you. It's about 45 minutes long. It is awesome. But one of the things that Jesus ran into was a religious crowd who believed in this book, this Torah, this Old Testament book. They didn't have the New Testament then. And he said, you look in here and think that it gives you life. He said, if this book speaks of me, then you won't believe. See what religion can do? He wasn't saying that this wasn't a good book. He wasn't saying that there wasn't truth in this. But you can read this book every year. People read. I've read through the Bible this year. I read through the Bible last year. I've read through the Bible 14 times. I've memorized all the gospel. You can do all those things and never know Christ. For this book speaks of him. Listen to me, friends. Listen to me. Listen to me. It's all about Christ. He's the focus of all creation. Everything points to him. He's the light of the world who brought truth. It's not about doing. It's about being. It's about him. I've told you this story before, but some have never heard it, so I'll tell it again. I had never read the Bible in my life, but I always felt that it would probably be good for you. I just kind of assumed that. And I was flying someplace one time, and I had a premonition that the plane was going to crash. It's not a good thing to do. So I went into the ballroom at the airport and decided to get tanked up. I figured they're tanking the plane up. I tanked myself up. You know, that way I wouldn't mind getting on board. But I couldn't get rid of that nasty feeling that this plane was going down. So the thought came to my mind, if I had a Bible, it'd be all right. And I thought, I wonder if they sell Bibles in the little book area, you know, snack place. And I went in there and I looked in amongst all the other books that are not books that are of the Bible, and I found a little New Testament. There's a paperback New Testament. And I thought, a Bible. And I bought that Bible. And this is before 9/11 when things were a little bit easier when you were flying. Actually, it was long before, because this is before I got saved in 1972, so I tell you it's a while back. And I got on board that plane, and when they started revving up the engines on that puppy and down at the end of the runway, and I knew we were going to crash as we took off, I reached down, picked up my briefcase, I unsnapped it, I stuck my hand in there, and I wrapped my hand around that New Testament and held on to it for the whole, not the whole flight, but virtually the whole flight. And you know what? It worked. The plane didn't crash. I'm still there. That didn't do me any bit of good except in my mind and give you a story to hear. But not many years after that, somebody showed me the Christ of that book. And I discovered that my foolish good luck charm held the words of life about Messiah. I still got that little Bible, by the way. You can keep it around. Kind of a good luck charm. It works real good. If you want to fly, I'll let you use it. If you're afraid to fly, work for me, it'll work for you. The poor in heart, those who are abused, those who are broken, those who are in great need can find help in this Christ child who comes to the ordinary people of the world. Shepherds were nobody, but they were the ones who were first invited to go see the King of Glory. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Interesting, isn't it, that they called him the Good Shepherd, and he went to shepherds, and they were watching sheep, and he called us sheep to watch over us. And an interesting little thing that they call people like me, pastors, who are watch over sheep, and that you are the sheep of his pasture, and I get the privilege of watching over you and praying for you and being a part of your life. Ordinary people. The last thing I want to bring to you is that this good news is for the whole world. Let's look at verses 16 through 18. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds were not just to receive the information. They were to broadcast the information. They were to go out and tell other people what had happened and what they saw. You know what amazes me? I'm sure, I wasn't there, but I'm sure of this. I'm sure Mary and Joseph didn't say, now, you need to memorize this passage of Scripture here, all right? And then you need to go out and tell everybody about it. Tell them, turn the burn, you know? Or, you know, give them the little four steps to salvation or whatever else that we use today. Those guys left out of there and went and told because something happened to them on the mountainside or the hillside when they saw the angels and when they went and they saw this Christ child. Something happened to them that changed their lives. I would bet I'd be willing to wager, and I'm not a betting man, that if we had lived and if we saw those guys, I'll bet you for the rest of their lives, they told the story. Can you see Grandpa telling these grandbabies? Come here. Jesse, sit on Grandpa's knee. Let me tell you what happened long, long ago. Grandpa was out in the field watching after his sheep. And this angel showed up. An angel, Papa? A big angel. And he had a lot of angels with him. Whoa, Papa, were you scared? Man, I was scared. Yeah, Papa was scared. And they told me about a king who was born, who was going to be the savior of the world. And they told me where to go and where our body. Oh, Papa, would he have his throne and everything? No, he was a baby. A baby, Papa? A baby. And he was in a manger with the animals, Papa? Yes. And I went. And my Uncle Joe and Uncle Mike went with me. We were out there. You can ask them. And we went down to where the manger was. And we saw. And I knew something was different about this baby. See, I saw you when you were born. I saw you when your mama was born. But I saw this baby was different. And I've never been the same again. And I've told everybody I know about it. And I wanted you to know. I wanted you to know. Because if you will believe that this baby grew up and that some cruel man hung him on a cross and killed him. And then he came back to life. Then if you would believe that, you could have everlasting life. Oh, Papa, what's his name? His name is Jesus. Have you done that, Grandma and Grandpa? Have you put your grandbabies on your knee? Told them about what Jesus. You told your children. I admire my buddy Bob Lambert back here when he told his son not too long ago. And he said these words when he told his son, a grown man. He said, I've got a right to tell you about this Christ. I brought you into the world. You need to know. And prayed with his son to receive Christ into his life. Just touch your heart. This Christ, this child who changed everything. The shepherds heard by the angels. Have you heard the truth? Have you heard about Christ? Have you heard about the child in the manger who was the Savior of the world? And what are you doing with it if you heard it? Is that just it? Is it just another story? Is it a story like Abraham Lincoln or some other historical figure that you might admire and think is great? Is it just a story you heard? Had another thing with it? You know what they did when they heard? They got off a dead center and they did something. They went. Joe, I don't feel like going down there, man. I'm tired. Man, we better go. There's something big going on. I don't know what you, but I'm going. All right, let's go. They hustle down to town to the manger. Have you done it? Have you gone? Have you gone to the manger? Or more appropriately, have you gone to the cross? And when they got there, what a moment in history. Have you been there? You know, they went there by faith, believing something was going to happen. They heard angels. Well, you can say this for sure. You heard it from Saint Angel, though. And if you'll just go to that place where the baby is, where Messiah is, and if you will believe on him, this book says you will not perish in that black hole of sin that has you trapped. You will not perish. But you will have everlasting life. That's the story. That's the good news. And if you've done that, have you done the next thing? They went and told folks about what had happened to them. Have you told anybody? Is somebody you care about enough to tell what happened to you? Have you told anyone? Your mother, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your children, your grandchildren, your neighbor, your loved one, your best friend. Have you told anyone? Or are you going to let them rot in the pit of darkness for all eternity with no hope? That's what these guys did. See what we've done? We've taken this glorious, wonderful story of life. We've made it into some kind of religious organization. It's lost its power, and people don't want it anymore. Because who wants that? Nothing. Go to church, go there on Sunday morning, sing a few songs, listen to some guy spout, or go to some kind of religious organization that goes from one ritual to another. You know, give you money, walk out. Oh, well, got that done. Hallelujah. You know, I'm in good shape with God. You know, that's wonderful. Who wants that? Most of the world doesn't want it. That's why most of the world's on the road to hell today. You know, because the church has lost the gospel. You know, we say it's lost its power. It's lost its gospel. It's lost its truth. Nobody wants to tell it anymore. We used to have a saying, which is still around today. Well, we don't argue, you know, religion and politics. Well, we're starting to argue politics. Let's start arguing religion for a while. And telling people the truth about it. This story is so good. So awesome. There's an old song said, I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story of Jesus and his glory. That old, old story. Have you been telling the story? It's time. It's time. It's time for the church to go back to work and tell the story just as the shepherds did. Amen? As we close, remember that it's important because the angels announced it. Didn't come from man, came from the angels. Ordinary people will listen to you. Ordinary people. You may not get into the king's house. You may not get into the priest's house or the religious leader's house, but you can get into ordinary people's house. And when you get there, realize that this gospel is for everyone. And when you talk to people, they'll say, well, I'm a Methodist or a Baptist or a Catholic or a Presbyterian and all those things. And you say, but are you a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever had a time when you received him into your life? If not, let's do it. This is a great time, the Christmas season. A great time. Get one of these little buttons. We got them back there. Just wear them. People will look at you and say, what is that? Your family might say that. What are you wearing? Mom, Dad, Pop, Brother? What's that thing you're wearing around? So God with us. And tell them about that. God is with us. Use that illustration. It's a great little illustration about people being in a pit and being rescued out of it. Would you like to be rescued? You never know. Be like me. Might say yeah. Be like you. Might say yeah. Amen? Next week, God willing, I want to talk about how Christmas has changed the world. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Got myself excited up here. Man, it's great when you like your own preaching. Isn't it, Tommy? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Lord, help us to bring the word of God, to the world. Not New Beginnings Church, not our fancy internet stuff. Lord, but that we might bring the truth of Messiah, that people might hear it and they might know. Thank you, Father. Bless this congregation, all who are watching by the internet. Let this truth radiate to them and to their families around the world. We thank you, Father, and we pray together in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. You are dismissed in the name of the Lord. By the way, before you break, if maybe, I don't know, maybe you were here this morning and you said, Josh, I never quite understood it that way before, and you'd like to talk to me about that, I'll be glad to talk to you before you leave the building. You're dismissed. Bye-bye.